Our Old Testament lesson this morning comes from the book of Ruth. At the very beginning of the story, as we hear of Ruth, a Moabite, and how she comes into God's story. Now, something that's going to be important for you to know before we jump into the scripture lesson is that Israel and Moab were enemies of each other. The Israelites considered Moabites to be idolaters because they didn't recognize the God of Israel as the one true God. And so that put them at tension with each other. There was also a feeling of the Israelite people that the Moabite women were, shall we say, morally loose. That will give you some context for Ruth's story that we hear today. The first chapter beginning with the first verse. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to live in the country of Moab, he and his wife and two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi. And the name of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. And they were Ephraimites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And when they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she started to return with her daughters-in-law from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had considered his people and given them food. So she set out from that place where she had been living, and she and her two daughters-in-law, and they went on their way back to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find security, each of you, in the house of your husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud. They said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Do I still have sons in my womb that may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. Even if I thought there was hope for me, even if I should have a husband tonight and bear sons, would you then wait until they were grown? Would you refrain from marrying? No, my daughters. It has been far more bitter for me than for you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me." Then they wept aloud again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. So she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, your God, my God. Where I die, where you die, I will die. There I will be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me, and even more, if even death parts me from you." When Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I love the book of Ruth. It's one of my favorites. The book of Ruth is kind of a unique book. It's one of the very few places in a usually male-dominated scripture where women are given the spotlight, where they're major characters, and where they're central people in God's story. In the first five verses of the book of Ruth, we're introduced to characters and we learn some of their background. You see, there's a famine that has moved in to Bethlehem, where Naomi has grown up and found a husband and given birth to two sons, where they have a household and they live a good life in Bethlehem. But now there is a famine. And it's kind of ironic that it is in Bethlehem that a famine has taken place. For Bethlehem is literally translated house of bread. And now there is no bread in the house of bread. However, the neighboring country of Moab has food. There is bread there. But they are people deeply despised by the Israelites. However, Naomi and her family make a decision that they would be willing to become refugees in the country of Moab, a place where there are people who despise them because they face such a desperate situation in Bethlehem. So as foreigners in an uncertain land, Naomi and her husband Elimelech and their two sons pick up and move to Moab. And as if the move itself wasn't disorienting enough, tragedy strikes their family again, and Elimelech dies. It all happens very quickly. And though it's not what Naomi would want for her sons, and though it's not what Elimelech would have wanted for his sons, Naomi's children are of age, and the breadwinner is not alive anymore. And so Naomi and her sons decide it's time that they get married so that they can support themselves and their widowed mother. So we meet Orpah and Ruth, the two women of Moab who marry the two men of Bethlehem. And they have a few good years together until tragedy strikes again. And both of Naomi's precious sons perish. Now Naomi's entire immediate family has died in Moab, her husband and her two sons. And she, a widow, is left with two relatively new daughters-in-law to figure out a future for themselves. And she's having trouble seeing it. In verses 6 through 14, we hear good news for Naomi. And she is in need of some good news. She hears that Bethlehem, the house of bread, once again has bread. That the famine that was plaguing them has released its grip, that there is now food. And so she plans to return home to where she has family, to where she has friends. She has a little bit of a support system, though things are still questionable. Initially, she begins to bring her daughters-in-law along with her. But she pretty quickly thinks it through and realizes that she's not going to be able to provide for these two young women in the customary way that they should expect. And so Naomi knows that with such uncertainty in the girls' future, they will be better off if they return to their families, to their homes in Moab. And so she asks them to return, telling them that they'll have a better chance at a bright future, that their families, that their friends, that their lives are here in Moab, no need to travel to Bethlehem. Dear daughters. And the young women protest and say, "Oh, Naomi, it's okay. We'll go with you. We'll figure it out." But Naomi is convinced of what needs to happen. She is convinced that the best future for these young women is to stay home. So she tells them that again. Return to your homes, and I pray that God will deal kindly with you. And as convinced as Naomi is, she's convincing to one of the young women, to Orpah, who returns to her family's home. Now, it's hard to blame Orpah in this situation. Her prospects are pretty good in Moab. She has security, she has family, she could be married again, and maybe in a relatively short amount of time. She knows that there will be food on a table for her. She knows that she'll have a bed to sleep in, a house over her head, that there will be people around her who can help her grieve the loss of her husband and take steps forward. She'll be in a familiar place with a familiar religion and so much more. None of that is guaranteed if she went with Naomi. So Orpah turns back. Ruth, however, takes a different approach. We hear at the end of verse 14 that Ruth clung to Naomi. Now, that word that we hear as clung or cling is more than just stick with. It's more than just Ruth decides to stick it out with Naomi. It's stronger than that. When this word that's translated cling is used in other places, it's translated as profound love, as unshakable commitment. Ruth is fully committing herself to Naomi in the way that husbands and wives usually commit themselves to each other in marriage. Naomi, who has been feeling alone in her bitterness and grief, she just can't shake Ruth off. So we finally get to hear from Ruth in the final four verses that we read this morning. After she has promised to cling to Naomi, then she speaks her peace to Naomi. She makes a promise to her. Naomi, wherever you go, I'm going to go. Wherever Naomi lodges, Ruth, I'm going to lodge there too. Ruth tells Naomi, I'll accept your family as my own. Your people are my people. Your friends are my friends. Your family is my family. Your neighbors are my neighbors. I'm going to surround yourself, myself, with your people, for they are my people too. And Naomi, your God, it's my God. And Ruth really means that, because she goes on to make her promise in the name of Naomi's God, already claiming Naomi's God as her own in the next breath. Wherever Naomi dies, Ruth promises she'll be there too. Ruth is all in. She's completely committed to Naomi, her mother-in-law, and that's just what Naomi needs, someone to stick by her side. Naomi says no more to Ruth. She doesn't try to convince her to stay anymore in the country of Moab. Now, it's not clear if this is something that's looked on favorably or unfavorably by Naomi, that now she's got Ruth with her. She's just quiet. So the two widows set out together to Naomi's homeland, to Bethlehem. And we hear about these two women, one who is deeply grieved and the one who clings to her throughout the rest of the story of Ruth. And if this isn't a story that you're familiar with, I hope that you'll read it. It's only four chapters long, and you're almost all the way through chapter one. So it's not a lot more to read. Ruth ends up becoming a big blessing to Naomi throughout the rest of the story, so much so that Naomi could have never imagined what Ruth is in her life. Ruth is of inestimable worth to Naomi. And by the end of the story, there's a new baby boy. And it's Naomi, a widow who's witnessed the death of her husband and her sons, who clings to a newborn baby boy. And I wonder for us, what makes us willing to turn back and what makes us willing to cling? looking at this passage of Scripture today, I have to think that I might be tempted to turn back when the future looks good in the rearview mirror, and when the future in front of me looks murky at best. So when do we know when it's time to cling? Ruth decides to cling to Naomi in what can only be described as the worst of times. They are broken. They are downtrodden. Their hearts are heavy. They have known what it is to lose family. And that, in that deep and dark moment, is when Ruth clings to Naomi. But it's not only in the worst of times that we cling. It's also in the best of times. Remember, this word cling is used throughout Scripture, talking about a husband and a wife joining together to create a new family. The bride and the husband leave their families and cling to one another, creating a new one in great joy. A happy time. Maybe some of the best of times. So whether it's the best of times or the worst of times, it's never a bad time to cling. And who is it to whom we are to cling? Ruth clings to Naomi, but I think this is an important question for us today. Whom do we cling to? Mark already gave us the answer when Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." I don't know about you, but that sounds to me a whole awful lot like cling to God. Cling to God with all that you have and all that you are all the time. Don't turn back to your old ways, the ways that you knew before you knew the saving power of Christ. Cling to God even when the way forward looks murky at best. Cling to God in the bitterness of your grief. Cling to God when the world's ways pull at you. When they start asking you to turn back, cling to God. For the Lord our God is our only hope and our only salvation. But what a mighty God who is able to give us new life, life transformed, and life made whole. Let us cling to God and pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks that you have given us the story of Ruth, the story of Naomi, to show us what it is to be your people, to be the people that you desire, to be the people whom you love, whom you call beloved sons and daughters. Remind us to cling to you, that you are sufficient, that your love is enough at all times and in all places to all people. Amen.